I always like to hear the comments that people make that are visiting with us about the congregation this morning. A lady who was visiting walked out and said, "You know, I believe that was the most encouraging assembly that I have ever been to from beginning to end." And I thought that was a neat compliment. Also, one of our Wednesday evening guest speakers called me after he had spoken and said, "Hey, I just want to tell you that y'all really do have a good turnout on Wednesday evenings." He said, "It's as good as I've seen in any of the places that I've been." So, thank you. It's good to be a part of Woodland Oaks, isn't it? My lesson tonight is kind of geared toward young folks, and that's good because we've got lots of young folks here. In fact, the average age here is, let's just say, considerably lower than mine. And that's really a good thing. It's good to see Lee with us. I have to tell a little bit on her, and when you call somebody's name from the pulpit, their heart stops, you know, so don't be concerned, Lee. But we were visiting with her the other day, and she was explaining to me, you know, what was happening to her, these little spells where she would just black out for just a split second and then just instantly be back. And she was trying to explain to me what it was like, and she said, "You know, it's like," and she's really serious, you know, she says, it's kind of like when you're in church and you know." I said, "Why didn't you say when you were in class at school? You know, why did you have to say when you're at church?" You know, and she went on to say, "You know, it's kind of like when your head just goes down and you hit the pew and you bounce back up, you know." Oh, me. Most of you know I had a birthday this last week, and I'm glad to have them. You know, I think back a few years and think about what I used to think about somebody who's my age, and I thought it was pretty much over for them, you know, that they had one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel, and it wasn't going to be very long till it was over. I've been out of high school for 42 years now. I sat down and figured that up the other day. 42 years. That's depressing. And so I'll save you the math. All of you are trying to figure it out. That's 1967. And the answer to your next math problem is 60 years old. It's just hard for me to imagine. And I go back and think about those years and high school years, and they were some really tumultuous times in our country, the 60s were. And they've gotten a lot more positive press than they really deserve, because the truth is it probably marked the beginning of a really serious downturn for our country. People look back at the 60s, and they've been romanticized so much, and there were some good things. But we were in the middle of race riots at that time. The first integrations of schools. But then there were the muscle cars and the hippies, just from one end to the other. They were in full swing. And I have to tell you that I didn't fit into those times as a teenager. I didn't have much chance, to be honest with you, because my dad kept me on a tractor out of trouble on the farm. And my first car was a long ways from a 66 GTO. It was a 1960 Ford Fairlane. And that's a long ways from a 396 Camaro or a Dodge Charger 440 Magnum with a semi-hemi. You didn't even have to know what that was. If you could just say it, it sounded cool, you know. The closest that I came to being a hippie was I did have those long sideburns, you know, down here on my jawbone. We called them mutton chops. One of my best friends was a black kid. I never really did know his name because all I ever heard was Armadillo. And I was afraid of the Klan because they were a reality in my part of the world. And they would have a rally just across the river. We grew up my house, I could step out the front door and put a rock in the river. And across the river was a little community there. And the Klan, about twice a year, had a rally across there and at night. And I would sit on the side of my bed and watch all the things that were going on over there. And because my dad and mom and my sister and I knocked doors, and other Christians there knocked doors in a community near there and taught and converted a black family, then they burned a cross in front of our house. And that's a pretty scary thing for about a 15 or 16 year old kid, because those things were pretty serious. And times have changed. The 60 Ford Fairlane got totaled. The sideburns disappeared. And last time I heard from Armadillo, he was working for the FBI. But I still don't fit in too well into society. But that's okay now, because it's by my choice. I can grow a beard, but it's the wrong color now, so I choose not to. And I drive a 1997 F-150 Ford pickup with a camper on the back that my wife complains about weekly and says it's the ugliest thing she's ever seen. But I drive it because I choose to. And I have a wife who loves me more than anyone else in the world, and whom I love more than anyone else in the world. And I have four beautiful daughters and two son-in-laws who are faithful Christians, and six smart grandchildren. And most of the kids that I know anything about from my high school class that did fit in have made a mess of their lives. Some of them have been married, I know, four times. Lots of heartache and lots of pain in some of their lives. Do you remember who it was in your graduating class that was selected as the most likely to succeed? Can you remember their name? Normally it was someone who exhibited some discipline and good grades, right? I want to picture for you tonight in just a few minutes what I'll call God's choice of who's most likely to succeed. And I want the young people to really listen to me. It's really a simple lesson. You probably won't totally agree with it, but you ought to listen to it anyway. God chooses people to succeed who will take good advice. I only have 2 points, and that's the first one. God chooses people to succeed who will take good advice. When you're young, you really get tired of people giving you advice. But don't worry, one day it'll pretty much stop, and people won't be giving you advice anymore, because you will have made the major choices in your life that will determine what your life is. And believe it or not, there will be some times when you'll wish that you could sit down and talk to your mom and your dad, but they're not going to be there for you to talk to. But right now is the time in your life when you need some good advice. And there is in life some good advice, and there's some foolish advice. You remember the story of Rehoboam and Jeroboam? Whenever the kingdom was divided in 1 Kings chapter 12, Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and Solomon was a wise man who had some really, really good advice, advice that people are still taking to this very day. But he didn't listen to his father's advice very well. And when his father died, he became king. And he had some decisions to make that were going to make quite an impact on his life. And so he sought some advice. And he got, first of all, advice from the old men. And then he got some advice from his peers. He obviously didn't listen to his father's advice, because had he listened to his father's advice, he would have known who to take advice from, among other things. And listen to some of the advice that his father gave, wrote for him, and as well as the world to read and to listen to. The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the basis of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And now reading from Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men, and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. And there's a moral here. And the moral is that the advice, when you're young, the advice that you get from your peers is stupid. If you don't believe that, just go online and read blogs. That's some of the most fascinating pile of ignorance that I have ever run across in my life. It really is. I mean, you read a news article and then you read the blogs under it. And it's just absolutely incredible. And among the most ignorant advice are the people who use the biggest words. I mean, it just seems like they really want to be wax really philosophical and use really big words, as if that's going to make this wise advice. If you want to get some good advice, make friends with an old man or an old woman. I'm serious. Some of the best advice that you'll get in your life. And I know you think that's funny, but it's not really. Rehoboam listened to the wrong advice, and he lost more than 80% of his father's kingdom and all the treasure that his father had worked to accumulate, all because he listened to the wrong advice. If he had taken the advice of the old men, his father's peers, then his life would have been totally different. He lived a remarkably unsuccessful life, especially in view of who his father was and all the advantages and opportunities that he had when he started out, and he died a failure because he listened to the wrong advice. God blesses those who follow him and listen to wise advice. And then, God's most likely to succeed are, secondly, those who accept responsibility for our own actions. And do you know why that's so important, that we accept responsibility for our own actions? Because a great deal of what you will learn in life that is important, you will learn from your mistakes. You'll actually learn more from your mistakes than you will your successes, if you'll allow yourself. And people who constantly blame others for our mistakes don't learn from our mistakes. We don't grow. They remain weak all their life. They're only concerned about trying to avoid consequences. And we live in a world that's what it's all about, trying to avoid consequences. This is a really hard thing. It's an easy thing to say, but a hard thing to have happen to you in your life. But do you realize that the best thing that could happen to you in your life quite often is getting caught? Really. Because if you don't get caught, if you think you got by with it, then you'll keep on doing it. But if you get caught, you have a choice to make. You can either accept the responsibility for your actions, or either you can try to figure out somebody else to blame. And if you're a wise person, and if you're going to be one of God's most likely to succeed, you're going to accept responsibility for your own actions. And you're going to take the consequences that come from those actions. A young man that I have great admiration for. And by the way, we've all made mistakes in our life. Some of us have made some really serious mistakes in our lives. But one of the young men that I love the most is a young man who got caught while he was in college stealing a chapstick from Walmart. And the police came and arrested him and put him in handcuffs and took him to the police station and booked him. And he came and talked to me later. And I told him, that's the best thing that ever happened to you. Now, that's a hard thing to hear, and it was a hard thing to happen to him. And I am really convinced that it was the first time he had ever done such a stupid thing. He had plenty of money in his pocket to pay for it. It was just a stupid thing he did. And fortunately, he got caught. It's kind of like the rich young ruler. You know what the best thing? The rich young ruler. The prodigal son. I got my stories mixed up. The prodigal son. You know what the best thing was that happened to him? His money ran out. If his money hadn't run out, he'd still be there till he died. And he'd have gone to hell. The best thing that happened to him is his money ran out. Now, there are some lessons to be learned from difficulties in life and hardships. And there are some lessons that can only be learned in the valley. They can't be learned on the mountaintop. They can't be learned when everything's going well in your life. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." And the troubles that he had, I would have difficulty in calling them light and momentary. Whenever I've had occasion on a number of occasions to visit someone in jail, it doesn't take me very long, I would say less than 3 minutes, to know where they're headed in their life. If they're making excuses for why they're there and blaming others for their situation, then nothing's going to change and they're probably going to be back there. But if they say, "I made a bad mistake and I have nobody to blame but myself," then there's hope for that person. You will make mistakes in your life. And you might make some really serious mistakes in your life, but they don't have to wreck your life. They will carry consequences. But you can trim those consequences. You can learn from the consequences and accept those consequences in your life. And along the way, you're going to find out also that there are some things, some really hard things that happened to you in this life that you didn't deserve. And we're pretty big on pointing those out. Now, we're not so big on pointing out good things that happened to us that we don't deserve. You know, whenever you get caught running a red light and you get a ticket, then you just really, that's a really big thing. But the numbers of times that you've gone through and didn't get caught, you just kind of dismiss those things in life. Don't we? There are going to be some times that you'll have difficulties in your life that you don't deserve. And you need to remember people like Joseph. My goodness. It just seems like everything that happened to him in his life was worse than he deserved, wasn't it? Just a whole series of things. As a teenager, he was hated by his brothers, and he was sold as a slave by his brothers. And then they drug him off to Egypt, and then there, because he refused to go to bed with an official's wife, then he was thrown in prison. And in prison, he was betrayed and forgotten by a man that he helped. And then when his opportunity finally came to retaliate against these people who had done him wrong, he chose not to. That's an incredible man. I'm looking forward to meeting him. God blessed his life, and he succeeded in life. Why? Because of his attitude that God blessed. Because of his attitude toward even undeserved hardship. And God put him in the furnace of life. And the furnace of life is hot, and it's not fair. But then all of God's people have been put in the furnace of life. And we've all had things that happen to us that's not fair. Abraham was told at the very outset of when we're introduced to him to leave your country and your father's house and go to a place where I'll show you, and you're never going to have a home. You're going to live in a tent for the rest of your life. And then there was Job, who's sitting on top of an ash heap looking out over the 10 freshly dug graves, 7 sons and 3 daughters, lost in a single day. How do you bear that kind of pain? Life, the furnace of life is hot. And it burns some stuff out of us. It burns some stuff that we're pretty proud of out of us. And that's the point. Our pride. Life has a way of burning it out of us, making us humble. And God blesses it when we take those things. Like he did David, when for months he was pursued by King Saul. Like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when King Nebuchadnezzar cast them into the fiery furnace. Like he did Moses and Elijah and Paul. And we could just keep on. Who's the most likely to succeed? Who is it that God blesses in this life? Those who listen to wise counsel. Those who choose to follow God and know that his hand is leading us, whether we're in the valley or whether we're on the mountaintop. That he's promised he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. Why is it so important to remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Number one, just a reality, because you might die young. People do, you know. So it's pretty important that you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And also because you might not die young. And because when you're young, you're making decisions that you're ill-equipped to make, and you need some advice. You need somebody to help you know how to make wise decisions. You're forming attitudes and habits that will not only follow you through life, but they will in fact determine what your life is going to be. And all that happens before you're ready for it to happen. You can't say, okay, let me get smart and let me get all my education and let me do all this and then I'll make all the decisions I need to make in life. No, you have to make those decisions today. You have to make them now. Will your life be a success or a failure? Well, you can know. Here's a question for you that'll help you know whether you're going to be a success or failure in life. The road that you're traveling right now, do you want to die on that road? The way that you're living right now, do you want to die living the way that you're living right now? And face God. Listen to your father. And if you're a long ways from his house, then he's waiting for you to come home, to make a wise decision to come home while we stand and sing.